overtime. The Broncos have been in three overtime games this year. They want them all. Got him at the 30. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiff arm got him. 3 to the 30. To the 20. Thomas to the 10. Denver's going on to New England. Snap from Patrick Lewis. Four-man Alabama rush. Got him. No, they didn't. Oh, my gracious. Yep. How about that?
Welcome to the Ultimate Football Talk Show, right here on GoMileHigh.com. You're now listening to Shay and Squirrel, and this is Inside the Huddle.
And welcome all to Go Mile High's exclusive football show. This is Inside the Huddle. I'm your host, Shaggy. Behind the board, you got your main man, Squirrel. Beside me, I got Roddy, and as well as I got Carlos here. We're going to talk about some football. We got some unfortunate news in the football news today, though. Tennessee Titans and Pittsburgh Steelers game is going to be postponed, most likely be playing on Monday or Friday, or Monday or Tuesday. What do you guys think about this?
It's crazy.
You knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, I called it.
You knew it. You had called it.
I called it week one. I was like, by week three, there was going to be some hiccups. And I think it's just going to get a matter of time. It's going to get a little worse.
So with this that's going on, do you think that the Vikings and as well as teams that got in contact with the Titans with the Vikings are going to start looking at protocols to start shutting down their facilities? Like, the Vikings just played them last week, and they have no test positives. You think they're going to take any pre-actions or, like, precautions to this?
They should. I mean, we knew we was going into this into the season, and every team should have had a protocol already set up just in case for this happening. I mean, my fantasy football team is hurting right now. I mean, because it is.
Yeah.
I don't think there's no protocol for that. But the teams, the NFL, Roger Goodell should have already had a plan set established for this. I don't know what that plan is. Hopefully we get a game on Monday or Tuesday if everything clears up. But, yeah, I don't know. What y'all feel?
I'm just looking at – yeah, I mean, they're tested. Every player is tested every day. And especially when at the games, you know, before the games too. And you ever think they're going to just go like call a game before it starts if someone's positive?
Well, they did that in the NBA. Remember the doctor that ran out on the Utah Jazz field and called the game right before the game started? I could see a situation like that. But they should have took a page off the MLB's book. You know, Robert Manfred, they had all those positive tests at the beginning of the year. And look at them now. They're going clean slate. But no positive tests now.
We all have to remember, you know, football is football. And you get 16 games. And there's nothing that Roger Goodell is going to want more than to play that football game. You know how much money football loses if one game doesn't go on?
Yeah.
One game. I'm talking one. You don't play one baseball game, there's a you know, 655,000 more.
Right.
You know, you only get so many football games in a season. You get a lot of basketball games. Every other sport plays a lot of games other than football. So to cancel a football game, I think
stupid question. It is a stupid question. I don't know. I mean, should the players wear masks?
Why?
Why?
You got a helmet on, dude.
So?
You really think those guys are going to be running down the field breathing okay with those masks?
It's not.
Especially up here in this altitude?
No.
So what they should have done, so there's 17 weeks in an NFL season. What they should have done is took in two supplemental weeks, added it to a week, you know, 19-week season, and put in the precautions like, hey, maybe this team won't be able to play this week because of COVID test, and they have to be pushed out a week so they get an extra bye week. They should have had two extra bye weeks set in place just in case for
That's
COVID.
A great idea.
So,
or he should have implemented the whole 18-week thing they're trying to do right now and set out a couple of your players so they don't play. You still play 16 weeks. Each player plays 16 weeks. Are available for 16 weeks, but two weeks you're just, you know, you can't play.
We were talking a few months ago about something like this. If, you know, if a quarterback or somebody or whatever goes down, you know, right before, because you know you have to have 52 players on a roster,
right,
in the
right.
NFL. So say you get to 46, you know, you don't have those players. What can you do?
Well,
we were talking. Go ahead.
No, yeah. Remember Josh McGowan's on.
Yeah.
the Eagles practice squad making 12 grand sitting at home in Texas.
Right. Why not get him out? Get him playing. Get something, you know.
Well, he'll do better than Carson, but no, we'll talk about that later.
But there's a there's a lot of that goes on. That, yeah. You know, why not just go to a different, you know,
a completely different team or roster?
Yeah, something, a whole different roster.
Wow, that's I'd rather have the bye week. Be honest with you.
Or you go to, God help me out, guys. The Rock just bought
The taxi squad, the practice squad,
the XFL. There's players right there that can play football. Yeah, they're not NFL talent. Obviously, that's why they're
there. You really want to go out there with the XFL roster?
Listen, dude, Cameron Artis Payne is a top runner in the XFL, which used to be a top runner in the NFL.
I understand.
So you're gonna tell me he can't play in the NFL anymore at all?
So I'm not are they saying expendable? That. So the XFL players.
Are they expendable?
Yeah, meaning you just sign them up for a few weeks until someone gets better?
You make your terms how you make them, dude.
Did she change the whole NFL rule book?
But so for those players, I mean,
are you ready for Johnny Manziel?
Is there really to play a rule?
Johnny Manziel is not going to be getting thrown out there. It's not going to be that bad.
But you're saying a whole new
there's
team.
Another outlet. You can go to the Canadian Football League. Right. You can go get players other than sitting out and not playing a football game.
We're not allowed in Canada.
What you mean?
America's not allowed in Canada.
Not right now.
You know what I'm saying. All those undrafted free agents, all those undrafted rookies that aren't playing, that are sitting at home with agents just waiting for
football. I understand where you're coming from, but this is, you know, the Steelers and the Titans. They both are 3-0. Both teams are 3-0. Are you ready to sacrifice a 3-0 season, a perfect season, a playoff season, a playoff bound team with a whole bunch of
I'm not saying a whole bunch. I didn't say a whole
bunch.
You
said a whole team.
I didn't say a whole team.
What you're basically asking.
I said about 6 to 7 players. I'm not saying switch the entire lineup, dude. Obviously, you can't do that.
Well, yeah. I mean, then they have a practice squad for that.
I was about to say, instead of a practice squad, would it be called the COVID squad or something? You know, these are players come in place in case you have players that get COVID.
I would get that, yeah. So they practice with the team and everything. So you just, they know the plays.
You have like a 15 not play players the football that are on the COVID squad?
Do you just not play the football game?
Yeah, you just don't play the football game, but you still practice with the team.
How much, you know what I'm saying?
So it's like a bunch of scrubs.
Right.
I'm not ready. Well,
Mike Tomlin doesn't want to put those guys out
exactly,
there. Exactly. But if he has to play a football game.
And then no.
He just doesn't play the football game.
We work something else out. I'm not going to go out there. Right. I got Big Ben, and now you're telling me I got to have Johnny Manziel and you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, another receiver. Yeah, so, I got to get them
so
up to speed.
So Mike Tomlin just says, we're not playing.
So this whole year is already has an asterisk. This whole year already has an asterisk.
Well, of course.
You know,
I think all the sports probably have
one. All sports. But I'm just saying, in the sake of money and fanship, yeah.
NFL's king.
Yeah. And they'll bring those scrubs in. And
I know they will.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. And Roger Goodell is not going to let a football game not go on TV. It's not going to happen, dude. Especially –
Oh, I get that.
Did you guys see the 9 players that were tested? None of them are even good players on the Tennessee
Titans.
That's what
I'm saying.
So why are you not even worried about it?
What are they really worried about?
Well, I think they're just worried about in case a marquee name like an Ezekiel Elliott or, you know, a player
you know,
like that.
Now, if Derrick Henry gets COVID, I think they got a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely got a
Corey
problem.
Brown or somebody gets, you know, Corey Davis. They got a problem.
They got a problem.
Tannehill goes down, they got a problem.
Ben Roethlisberger, Juju.
Yes, I'm saying. They got a big problem. But there is people that can step in and play football games. Look at the Broncos. They got a slew of quarterbacks. We don't even know.
Well, yeah, I get that. There's a slew, but you're not going to just throw like.
They just threw Rippey in this week. He's starting against the Jets.
Yes.
And, man, he threw 12 passes last game, first game ever, dude. You're going to let him start against the Jets.
And he still looked better.
Hey, I like that mask, Josh.
Yeah.
So with the NFL mitigation and treatment rubric for exposures to COVID-19 positive. There's a formula on here in the internet. Close contact exposure to COVID-19 positive individual goes down to, okay, he's in a bubble. But it starts with at least, you know, they go for at least 10 days. But now they're like, if there's like 10 or more players, then they really going to think about canceling the game.
Well, that's what they do. That's what Broncos just had to do, bro. They could have Bortles starting this week, but he can't. Yeah. He's got to wait 14 days.
Right.
So he's got to wait 2 weeks to even play for a team he just signed for. So now they got to deal with what is his name? Matt Ripien?
Matt Ripien?
Driscoll. Yeah. He ain't ripping passes, I'll tell you that now.
He's the nephew of Mark Ripien.
Them dang O'Driscolls.
Him and Mark, his uncle Mark, were throwing football passes during the COVID.
All right, we'll get right back to this when we get back to Inside the Huddle on Go Mile High.
Taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
This is Ducello at Sturt. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Locke. And if you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturt. Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
And welcome back to Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com. And at the break, Carlos had an interesting question. I'm going to let it, take it over here.
Sure. So we got the Steelers and Titans. They may play Monday and Tuesday. Well, what about their week four games? I mean, the Titans got upcoming against the Steelers was postponed, right, of course.
You mean their week five games?
Week five. But, yeah, meaning going into week five. So that means you're going to have like 3 to 4 days prepare for your next game.
Yep.
Well, they're going to look at it just like the same way they look at a Thursday night game. I mean, when you have a Thursday night game, you want to get like, 1 to 2 days of practice, 1 day to build a game tape and or game plan, and then
with
you
no
start
preseason
a Thursday.
And people. That's why so many players are hurt. And
well, I just think that, I mean, you knew this was coming up in the old. If they do it Tuesday, I still think this is going to have to be a like handicap for, you know, a couple of weeks with just the whole practice and, the trainings.
Situation. I don't know, but so. I just foresee the schedule messing up. Like, okay, yes, it was a Sunday game. You know, scheduled for a Sunday game, but now it might be Monday and Tuesday. What happens if you had a Thursday game?
But it's the same thing like you're going to England. You know, a lot of teams go.
They get a bye week after that.
They get a bye week, but however, you know, going to England, you got to deal with the whole time, jet lag, time lapse thing. So, you know, the players are not ready to play then.
But they go out there to be handicapped.
These guys aren't worried about jet lag, man. They fly all over the country.
Right.
So yeah, but there's a difference between flying overseas and like flying from the West Coast to the East Coast.
It's a like after every team that goes to London, it plays their visiting game or whatever on the East Coast, and then they fly to London right after the game.
Not all teams.
So they have the whole week,
right,
to acclimate, and then they get the bye week after that. But this is a sickness, and we don't know. I mean, as a coach, if you're 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 a coach and you're playing on Monday or Tuesday, and next thing you know, I got to worry about my team getting sick and prepare for a game the following Sunday.
Well, to add off onto what you're saying, so what if they let them play on Tuesday and they still have people that they are still in the incubation period, that two-week period, and they still are testing positive, but they're asymptomatic, and they happen to have it, and they play that Tuesday night game, and then they go on and play the very next week, not knowing, and then they test positive after that. That means everyone that they got exposed with, the Titans-Steelers game, right after that Steelers game, the Vikings game, they're going to have to start testing all those teams, and it's going to spread. Like, they did the mapping of the Jazz game and how many players teams the Jazz played before that and how many teams those teams had played. It was almost the whole league. Like, it could stretch off to a couple teams like that, and that's not good.
Mm-mm. Or they could just switch their bye weeks. This would be their bye week.
So much money, bro.
Schedules and stuff like that. So screw up the schedule.
I mean, I think that's probably
more viable
than some, you know, proposed ideas that they got. Just take your bye week this week.
Take your bye week this week. And then
when your bye week comes, you got to play the Titans.
Yeah.
You just got to play your makeup game.
And you got to play
just
that
like,
makeup late.
Just like baseball had to do. They, you know, we know St. Louis and Miami went, 2 weeks without playing a baseball game. The Yankees went a few weeks without playing a baseball game. You know what I'm saying? And then they have to just double header. You got to work them in how you can. And I think you just need to look at all the options before you just – cancel an NFL football game.
That'd be interesting to put a double header on football.
That'd be interesting. I wasn't meaning obviously double header on football, obviously, but you know what I'm saying with a double header.
Yeah, I got you.
So you got to fit the games in when you can, or you go an extra week.
And it's not going to affect stadium attendance at all. Think about it, because there's no fans in the stands either way. So if you move a game through a bye week, it's not like
you had to ruin the tickets. You got to worry about ticket sales and all that crap too. So
you just have to worry about the broadcasting team and letting them know, like, hey, we're going to do it this game or this day, or, you know, that's all you have to really worry about. So, and the two teams.
I'm curious. You know me, I always throw the curveball. I wonder if any teams are going to make fictitious tests, like positive, so they can rest a day or two with injuries and, you know.
Well, you saw Lincoln Riley came out and he said that he's not going to be honest about his COVID test, that if his players come out, he's not going to be honest about, you know, them testing positive.
Yeah. Of course, because they want to play football, dude.
Right. That's going to be a fine.
And
though.
Like you said, definitely. I can definitely see a lot of fines coming. Look, dude, they're
already fined.
They're fining John Gruden $200,000 for having his mask down on his chin. They're going to fine you for all kinds of stuff right now.
Yeah, you can't look like
you got to get the Andy Reid buffet protector.
Yeah, you got that. Get the Andy Reid, you know, Megatron.
It's
yeah.
the buffet protector, you know.
He's got a bubble around his head. Looks like a damn space cadet, you know. So,
but they won't fine you for that.
Yeah, no, for real. But anyway. I think Roddy's on something with being able to use, you know, a bye week in a way. And with Carlos saying, you know, do I think that people are going to fake or not tell you about their tests? Absolutely.
I mean, absolutely.
I wouldn't.
The same thing as like in Florida, if a hurricane was coming through stuff like that, they just made that their bye week.
Listen, if Patrick Mahomes would have tested Saturday, playing against Lamar on Sunday, ain't nobody would have heard about that.
No.
Or what was it, Thursday night?
So no, it it's just like
Monday night, excuse me.
Any flu-like symptoms, they're going to the trainer and saying, throw an IV in me.
That's what I'm saying. You really think Andy Reid was going to come out and say, oh, well, Patty Mahomes got COVID, he's not playing tonight.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Hell no.
It would have came out Tuesday morning, oh, Patty Mahomes got COVID. then it would be like, so he had it before the game.
You know, or they're
so,
not saying anything at all.
Yeah. Or I was about to say, or if it's a star player, they don't even say anything at all.
You know, all the big, LeBron, any of the big boys, dude.
Yeah. But we were talking about that like 3 months ago on Press Box already. We were saying like they're not going to give out that information.
Yeah, especially in the playoffs. You really think they're going to come up and say, well, LeBron's got COVID? Mm-hmm. No. Well, no. They're going to let it run, see if he really gets sick.
Going back to Lincoln Riley, he said it was a disadvantage or like a some like off-field disadvantage, like saying like, oh, he has these players, that have COVID, so we can game plan for it.
Right.
So he's saying like, kind of gives out a game plan they can already put out.
Exactly. And in the NFL, game plans are big, dude, because you get an Andy Reid that understands your defensive game plan. Your game's normally already over anyway, with Andy Reid on the offense. But with such of what?
NFL issues strong warning to coaches who won't wear masks on the sideline. Meaning?
Yeah, the strong warning was the $250,000.
No,
John Gruden. I'm pretty sure that hurts.
No, but also
I don't care how much money you got. The $100,000 hurts.
Yeah,
but you might lose. But you might lose a draft pick.
Unless you're
you may lose a draft pick.
Yes, that's the one that caught my eye.
Did you hear? Speaking about giving people draft picks or losing draft picks, if NFL organizations hire minority coaches, could up your draft lottery? Did you know that?
Jeez.
That's stupid.
That came out a few months ago when Goodell said that, dude.
I'm good with, the Rooney Rule. There should be more, black head coaching opportunities.
I'm all for that, but I mean,
Deuce Staley.
The best coach should be the coach, honestly. Let's be right.
Deuce Staley needs to be coaching.
We see no color in this room.
Just like with Steve Nash thing came out.
Yeah.
Everyone was all mad. Oh, because he's white, he got the job. I mean, that man had a 21-year illustrious career. I mean, he knows basketball.
How come there's no Puerto Rican coaches?
Come on, Carlos.
See? How come there's no Asian coaches? Right.
Have you seen the Asians play basketball?
Yeah. A few.
I mean.
Yao Ming's got my list. That's about it, dude.
Yeah.
I mean.
Lin Fancy.
Jeremy Lin.
Lin Sanity.
I mean, I see Eric Bieniemy being a head coach here in the future, and he should be. Mm-hmm. But, giving somebody draft picks because of the right thing to do just because you're doing the right thing, I hate that.
I can't
get on board with giving people incentives for trying to do the right things in your eyes, you know what I'm saying, and in Goodell's eyes.
Yeah.
And we're all on the same page, equality everywhere. But it's like when you say, I can up your draft lottery if you just, if you go get a black coach or a minority coach or something like that, it's like, wait a minute. What, is everybody just going to start going to get different coaches? I can get a better draft pick.
Fire him after one season? After
so I'm saying,
that's exactly what's going to
happen. Appreciate you for the draft pick, buddy.
That's all we
don't need you anymore.
We don't need you anymore, so it's not fair.
Really? Like, that's what you do with players, dude.
I'll just get Stephen A. Smith to be a coach for a week or two.
Oh, great. Sure he's the Cowboys coach, too.
Yeah, exactly.
He loves the Cowboys.
Gotta
love it.
Have you guys ever watched the little Stephen A. Smith kid?
Yeah.
With the hat? Oh, my gosh.
That was funny.
It's crazy. I mean, I do think there should be more black coaches and black ownership out there. Black GMs definitely in the world of football. But, like I said, rewarding, teams.
I'm not going to say.
They're just going to abuse the system, like you said.
I'm not going to say that there needs to be more or less or more or less.
More opportunity, I should say.
Opportunity. That's fine. I'm on the page of a better player should play. A better coach should coach.
Right. Yeah.
In any aspect of any kind of thing.
But explain Matt Patricia right now. I mean,
what do you mean? I mean, he's an illustrious coach from New England who's got five rings.
Yeah.
The man knows how to coach football.
What's his record since he's been in the Lions?
Detroit.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you got the job.
Any coach in Detroit the last 20 years has had a losing record.
Well, Jim Caldwell didn't.
Huh?
Yeah, Jim Caldwell didn't.
Jim Caldwell.
He got fired at 9-7.
Yep.
And then he got fired at 9-7.
That's what, 30 years ago.
Four years ago. Matt Patricia got – and Matt Patricia just got his – in his third season, just got his 10th win.
He's a coach of Detroit.
Right, but he's still going to lose his job. But.
Well, of course, dude. The guy in Chicago is going to lose his Adam Gase is going to lose his job.
Yeah.
People who are on crappy
teams. But
they're going
to get that opportunity. That's all. They should be fired now. Like, there's no way.
You can't just fire him now.
Atlanta.
Who?
Dan Quinn.
Oh, Dan Quinn.
Okay, Dan Quinn. Okay.
Dan Quinn Bill should O'Brien. Be fired
okay,
now.
There's a few people on
after
the list.
Two come from behind. You were up
after Dallas.
19.
Yeah.
Dallas and Chicago.
No, I'm with you.
There was no way if I'm sorry to bring it in, but if it was that was a black coach, he'd been fired the next day. Ooh. Guaranteed. Yeah, I mean, just instantly, he'd been fired the next day. It was just crazy.
Wow.
I just think it's crazy. So Eric Bieniemy and Robert Saleh, two of the offense and defensive coordinators of the respective NFC and AFC representatives in the Super Bowl, didn't get head coaching opportunities this year. And Eric Bieniemy is the
Eric Bieniemy is the
he's the truth. And then Robert Saleh is the truth as well.
Like
they're the truth.
Eric Bieniemy deserves an NFL
coaching opportunity.
Coaching opportunity.
And
immediately.
Well, he was brought up last year after they won the Super Bowl.
Brought up.
But he didn't get one opportunity.
Hmm. That's just crazy. I definitely think he should be a part of a coaching gig. I mean, if he's going to be a part of the Jets, he should have the chance at the Jets. He should have a chance at the Giants. I'm pretty sure that's going to be open.
The Atlanta Falcons. That's actually very interesting.
Falcons, yeah. They actually have a pretty decent offense. So that'd be pretty great.
Adam Gase, O'Brien, Dan Quinn, Patricia on the hot seat.
And speaking of Chiefs, we'll be talking matchups next week.
Next week. Or next week.
Taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
This is Ducello at Sturts. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Locke. And if you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturts.
Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
And welcome back to the Inside. inside the huddle here on Go Mile High. You can catch us on Facebook or on Twitter at Go Mile High, or you can catch us on the internet at GoMileHigh.com. Give us a call at 303-937-6548. But before we got to the break, we talked a little bit about matchups and Chiefs and Patriots. But I think the biggest matchup here at the table has got to be Colts and Bears, because we got respectively a Bears fan and a Colts fan here. So, and I think the – I'm just going to say, I think the Bears are going to go 4-0 this weekend. I think because they got the human tripod at quarterback.
I'm giving them a high five. You're giving them a high five. We're good. Yeah,
you're going to be upset on Monday.
Okay. They're going to be upset. Well, they're going to be upset in about a week.
Because I'm expecting a loss. I'm expecting a loss, but I'm loving the wins.
Well, let me just say this. They're going to be upset in a week from today or a week from tomorrow when they play Tampa Bay and they're 4-1.
Tampa Bay? Yeah, Tampa Bay. We're going to play some Tampa Bay, right? We're going to play some Tampa Bay.
Did you guys see old Tampa Bay do his thing here in Denver?
Yeah,
he was good. Didn't look
bad. Didn't look bad.
That throw to Scotty Miller.
Yeah, well, dude, you know what? It's funny. My buddy had Mike Evans. He had two catches for two yards and two touchdowns. Boy, you can't get any slimmer than that.
But I want to get back to this Bears team.
You don't want to talk about that.
I don't want to talk about the Bears.
You don't want to talk about
two comebacks of 16 points in the first 3 weeks. That is
impressive.
They need to go down to Atlanta and show them what's going on.
It's impressive. I know that I've been looking at the power rankings from all the sites, the ESPN, the NFL.
Absolute crap.
They absolute crap. You know, they're just there to make you. I know they have no Pacific meetings or anything, but the Bears are 3-0 and they barely cracked the top 15 teams. There are two teams.
Okay.
That are ahead of the Bears.
I'm gonna tell you why.
And I can't stand.
You were down three touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
And we came back
in two games.
Okay. In two games. Right. So what they're looking at is you're not good enough to start in front. You're good enough to come back in front. But
who's that quarterback? Who's the quarterback though? Mitchell Trubisky, and I'd rather see Nick Foles out there than Mitchell Trubisky. I'm just gonna be honest.
Yeah, we've been telling the Bears this since last year, and they finally look what's going on. They're winning football games.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir. But I know this song wasn't there already. I know it. It's just that like Mitch Trubisky was going into the season with Mitch Trubisky, we were just like, oh my gosh, Bears fans, we just like, you got to be kidding me. But
come on, pride of North Carolina, baby.
when Nick Foles came in, that whole offense looked completely, entirely different.
Because
they
have
fluent.
A different and better quarterback and behind center who's confident in throwing the football.
Think of that.
You know what's crazy? I heard a story that
it's like Peter Remember the Titans.
You guys know Peter Schrager on Good Morning Football? I guess he talked to Anthony Miller after the game, and I guess Anthony Miller said in the huddle right before the 2-minute warning, Nick Foles said, just run to the L in Atlanta and I'll catch you right there.
And
where did he run to? The L in Atlanta. Yeah, and Atlanta caught the L.
Yep, that's it.
He goes, they're gonna
I like that.
They're gonna blitz.
Run to the L and they're gonna catch the L.
And not to like bash Mitch Trubisky. I mean, he has the talent.
No, please.
He has the talent.
I think he's a athletic backup quarterback in this league.
He has the talent to be an NFL quarterback.
Like a Driscoll.
He's just
honestly, I'm gonna compare him.
You just see him just scared. He's trying to run the play, and the play is not gonna run to perfection.
I'll give
every
you
every time. He doesn't know how to adjust them.
I'll give you a perfect comparison. Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton had a little bit more.
Mitchell Trubisky. He had a better offense. You gotta give Mitchell Trubisky has had who to throw to.
Allen Robinson. He's a good receiver. He's a number one. And Anthony Miller's
Anthony Miller's decent. Andy Dalton has had A.J. Green for 12 years.
But that's all he's had out there, and as well as
good
running backs.
He's had a lot of good offensive weapons.
He never had
Cincinnati.
Boyd early on in his career, though.
He just couldn't get it done.
He just never had
in Cincinnati.
Well, let's talk about your Rivers.
My Rivers.
Your Rivers, yeah.
Hang on.
I didn't even want Rivers, so let's start there.
You know what's funny?
That's
funny.
He wanted Rivers. No, he knows I didn't even want Rivers. I wanted Jacoby Brissett to start and play because before he got injured last season, the man was 6-1. Just letting everybody know. He was
6-2.
So whatever. He was still a great quarterback, dude.
Still a great quarterback.
And we gotta
remember
this.
He got injured.
They beat the Colts. The Colts beat the Chiefs last year, 19-12, on Sunday Night Football,
and then
they ran the ball down their throats.
They came back in the AFC Championship and beat us.
Can I ask you a question?
Let's hear it.
Does Philip Rivers have the respect to with the players on the Colts to actually lead the team into the playoffs, into the Super Bowl?
He better, dude. He's been a leading quarterback in the NFL for 20 years, nearly.
Mm-hmm.
I
see more excitement when Brissett was in there from the team than I Rivers. Do.
More excitement, yeah, but there's more production right now. You got to.
I will say this:
like
you know that the highest completion percentage in the league right now is Philip Rivers. He's almost completing 80% of his passes.
All the man does is throw the football.
Mm-hmm.
Now you put a throwing quarterback
and have kids
on a on
he knows
a
how to do that pretty well
on a running team.
Yeah,
he looks a lot better than he did in Los Angeles. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
So
I think so far.
2018 Rivers was a lot better than 2019 Rivers. They had a line in 2018.
But still, people were saying he's been falling off, but he threw 4,000 yards a season at 25, 30 TDs.
No, we talked about it during our fantasy
talks. To bring up to me that Philip Rivers isn't a decent enough quarterback to play, you know, starting quarterback in the NFL is just absolutely ridiculous. The man's been doing it for years.
No, he's going to throw over 300 yards.
A game. You know,
but with the two especially with the two when picks, Hines questionable.
Yeah.
He has almost 800 yards, 3 TDs, 3 ints.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be throwing a lot more this week because the Colts don't really have much of a running game this week.
Well, Jonathan Taylor's there.
Oh, I know, but
that's all we need, dude.
Okay.
If he's throwing to those Bears corners.
Michael Pittman's not in.
Y'all have no receivers, really. Yeah.
T.Y.'s there. We got
Who else?
Mo Alley Cox has been doing a lot.
Pascal.
Pascal, yeah, but yeah. I mean, but okay. But look, we don't see any names, but Rivers is still putting up 300 plus.
Okay, they're doing it against Bears corners, and that is a tough secondary.
Yeah, Fuller is a good
Kyle
corner.
Kyle Fuller, you got Eddie Jackson back there, safety. We're doing it back there. I mean,
but I've also watched other teams throw a bunch of TDs on you guys, so I'm not too worried.
And
we came back.
Well, but that doesn't mean you didn't give them up. You're playing a whole other animal.
The Bears' defense needs.
Well, I'm telling you, you're playing a whole different animal on defense this week.
Does
too.
Bears get respect if we beat?
But who have the Colts really played though? They've played the Gardner Minshew-led Jaguars, the Sam Darnold-led Jets, and the Kirk Cousins-led Vikings. Like none of those teams are, formidable teams.
I'm not saying they're good.
I'm just saying
we blew out Minnesota and we blew out New York like we were supposed to. So that's all I'm saying is it's not like we played them real crappy. We played them like we were supposed to. Rivers threw 4 TDs. We put up 38 points in both games. So it's not like we barely beat them 17-10 like we're really crappy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And we haven't had to come back in any games other than the Jacksonville. We didn't even have to come back in Jacksonville.
You won comfortably. That makes it kind of
I'm not saying that. I'm saying we did what we were supposed to do.
And the Bears did what they were supposed to do.
Think about it like
win.
This. The Chiefs didn't do what they were supposed to do against the Chargers.
All right, take it out back.
Well, hey, listen. He's a big dude, but I'm willing. I'm going.
Well, let's do it.
Let's go
UFC style.
Let's talk about Sunday night's game.
We don't even want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about the Sunday night's game.
What's wrong with Sunday night's game?
What's that? Minnesota and Seattle?
Game of the week, baby.
Game of the week, baby. Yeah.
Eagles against the 49ers.
I'm sorry.
Can we say blowout of the week then?
Eagles and 49ers.
Can we say blowout of the week?
Who wants to even watch that game?
Would you say
Seattle fans?
Seattle fans, yeah.
Obviously, it's a must win for both teams.
Why is it must win for the 49ers?
Because they're 2-1.
And Seattle's like 3-0, about to go 4-0.
It's definitely
a
must win
for the Cardinals are going to be the surprise team of the league.
I think it's a definite must win for San Fran because of all the injuries right now.
Yeah,
absolutely. Dude, listen, that Mullins guy?
Yeah.
That quarterback threw over 300 yards, dude. Like, what do they need Garoppolo
Y'all
for?
Y'all remember like 3 or 2 years ago
when he came in on like a Monday night game?
He threw like 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He had that one
and
pass to George Kittle.
Berthard was like the other one. Berthard?
C.J. Berthard.
C.J. Berthard?
Yeah, Berthard or whatever.
Yeah, dude, like, what do they need Garoppolo for?
That just speaks to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. Great coaching and great general managing to build a roster.
Let's slow down with the Kyle Shanahan great coaching thing first.
Well, I mean, great offensive coordinator.
Biggest
blowout
in Super Bowl history he blew. So
you also got to put that on Matt Ryan. He's hiking the ball at 20 seconds.
It's going to be a low scoring.
He can run the ball down.
I mean,
he
it's going to be a low throwing game, and it's going to be a lot of running.
Where?
On the Eagles 49ers game.
A lot of running? From who?
From both Sanders, and I think Mostert is coming back.
I hope Mostert. My boy, man. My boy. Yeah. I miss my boy, dog. I texted him the other day.
Nice.
I went to high school with him, Roddy. I'll just let you know.
Oh, I see.
So if the Eagles do win, lose this game, it's not like they're still not out of the division. This division's so porous that if Dallas, even then, if they win, they're only 2-2. Washington football team, they're not going anywhere. The Giants aren't going anywhere.
Well, that's what Trump meant last night, that Philly was so bad.
Yeah, he was like, hey, Philly's so bad. But he brought back football. My God, I don't know. As long as I can watch football and not that debate. this is not a debate, this is a sports show.
Can we actually consider that a debate?
Or was it just two old men, grown old men?
No. Let's not just do the two. How about the moderator? He wouldn't shut up either.
Yeah, I couldn't hear anything. He sounded like the two. Those two sounded like the people from the Muppets that's on the balcony. The two old guys. It was just crazy going on.
Minnesota and Houston both 0-3.
We can talk about it. We can talk about the rest of the slate.
Well, we'll talk about that tomorrow, though. We got some fantasy football coming back on Inside the Huddle. We'll be right back.
Taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, the grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
This is Ducello at Sturts. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Locke. And if you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturts. Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com, part of the Be On Air Network. And I am going to be taking over today, guys, talking about some fantasy football things going on. And man, oh man, has it been a week of fantasy football, guys. I want to tell you, boy, did anybody take up Justin Jefferson? Boy.
No.
Oh, I'm glad I did.
I picked him up. Yeah, I picked him up.
Oh, you did? I picked him up in two leagues. Buddy, oh, buddy, did he put up. 175 touchdowns.
Back-to-back weeks, I've won by half a point.
Half a point?
Yes, I beat Amada by half a point, and then I beat Alex Decker by half a point.
How much you pay him?
I'm just glad that they, you know, Lamar Jackson started on Monday night because I was going against Marquise Brown. And
all right, I'm gonna ask you guys. Hollywood,
not to one up you, but I won by .08.
He said not to one up you. Yeah, hey, is that James? Has he got his Braves jersey on?
Yeah.
We should just tell him they lost. See if he knows. Anyway, let's. Check this out. Justin Jefferson, 175 yards, TD. What, eight, nine catches? Put up 30 points. From a rookie standpoint, and as a fantasy owner, do you stick with somebody like that for a few weeks?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Kirky. Well, because Kirky is going to stick with him for a few weeks.
That's
you
what
know?
I'm saying. Where is Thielen?
Kirk Cousins is definitely going
to. Does Adam Thielen play football anymore?
He does, but he's not reliable.
He had a touchdown last week.
Yeah, touchdown. Yeah, he's just not going to be reliable.
Adam Thielen used to be good for two touchdowns, 100 yards a game, buddy. With Stephon Diggs on the other side.
He's on my fantasy team, I know.
With Diggs on the other side. So,
not Diggs. Ooh.
I think Diggs came in as the top leading receiver this week.
For
Buffalo, which I think Buffalo has a big, big shot of winning the big game this year, guys, honestly.
Yeah, they have a shot of going to the Super Bowl.
Did anybody check out what Josh Allen did that last 2 minutes of that game?
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about a
comeback
second
player of the year?
Why are we looking at those last? I'm looking at the whole game.
You want to talk about a second year quarterback with the confidence?
Third year quarterback.
Third year quarterback with the confidence that he has.
Didn't I tell you before the season? I was like, expect Josh Allen to take a leap this year.
He's going
to
take. He took a big.
He's
leap.
Ascending.
He's taking that team in his hands. He's leading them down for 2 minute, two-minute drills, dude. Winning football games now. Do I agree on the penalty call for the pass interference? No. He was within a few yards. Mm-hmm. That's legal touching, bro. You're allowed to shove each other around. But did Josh Allen throw the ball at the perfect right time so that the refs would look at that? I think he did.
Well, get this. The last 2 years, everyone gave Josh Allen crap because he couldn't throw the ball deep. He had the greatest arm, comparable to Patrick Mahomes, but he was the least accurate deep-throwing quarterback.
That man's accurate as
fuck. Now, this year, he's the most accurate deep-throwing quarterback, throwing the ball at 77% of his deep balls, accuracy-wise.
It's amazing to see that what just 1 or 2 years in the NFL could develop you to be.
Is that credit to Sean McDermott, though?
Honestly, a heck of a head coach.
He's defense.
He's the defensive
coach.
But
honestly,
he has 10 touchdowns and one interception and over 1,000 yards.
I know, but I'm saying McDermott, because he was at D.C. in Philly and D.C. in some other places. So he's just all defense.
Honestly, I didn't know, Josh Allen was that good of a mobile quarterback. And I think that's, the success that a lot of people didn't realize. He's very mobile in the pocket. He knows when to get out the pocket, and he can still throw with – pretty decent accuracy.
I'm gonna be honest, I knew about Josh Allen back in college because obviously me, big Nebraska fan. In 2016, Wyoming played against Nebraska, and even though Nebraska beat the bricks off of Wyoming, Josh Allen had two touchdown throws, and one of them where he was throwing off his back foot through a 50-yard laser to the back of the end zone, touchdown. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching that, I was like, that is an NFL throw. That is not a college throw. So I remember getting my first taste of Josh Allen back in 2016, and then, he was more of an NFL prospect, but he's turned into one of the great young quarterbacks in this league, and possibly, the second, if not the first best quarterback in that draft with Lamar and as well as Baker. I mean, he's better than Baker. We got to put him better than Baker now.
Oh, yeah.
I think
definitely.
He's in MVP talks. He's in MVP talks.
Baker's probably going to have his best year so far, I think, this year.
Baker who? I need to Baker, the back of the bread, Hulu, the bread got good sports Baker.
He has more Baker commercials than he has actual NFL wins.
I love those commercials. Yeah, those commercials are hilarious.
I'm glad. I mean, he's great as a commercial. I love to see him as a quarterback.
I love that furniture commercial. Got to cover up the furniture.
Yeah.
But he's got one cover in his hand.
Outside of his rookie year, though, he's descended, though. I mean, this year he's kind of been playing good.
Decent. At best.
But, I mean, take out his running backs, he's not going to play well. I mean, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, the two-headed monster back there.
He has everything at his disposal. That's the thing. He has two premier receivers and
two premier tight ends.
Two premier tight ends and Jokic and Hopper. He has two killer running backs in Chubb. Hopper.
So
it's a hopper.
He hopped for the ball. So
they should be blowing out teams. They should at least have
for 3 years. 40 they should be blowing out teams with that with that roster. Those names on that paper.
So you think they'll beat Dallas this week?
What? Yeah.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. And I hate Dallas. Yeah. I'm a Dallas hater.
Dallas won't win until they learn how to play defense. And they can't really do that.
No way. I'm taking Dallas.
Not with the way Nick Chubb's playing right now.
I'm taking Dallas. Goodness.
I just don't trust Dak Prescott, dude. I don't trust him to sit there.
You don't trust him more than Baker Mayfield over Baker Mayfield?
I'm not saying I don't trust him over Baker Mayfield. I'm just saying I don't trust him.
So who do you trust more then?
I would trust Dak over him.
Okay.
But with the way that they're playing right now, not being able to play defense – I see Baker taking it this week, especially the way that they're moving forward.
So Dallas, you think the Cowboys are going to drop down to 1-3 then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you think Joe Burrow's looked pretty good to be a good quarterback?
Joe Burrow has looked better than some of the rookie quarterbacks I have ever seen.
He looks better than some of the quarterbacks are playing now.
His second game, he threw for 363 and three touchdowns. I mean, it was no picks, dude.
In his first game, he had a chance to win the game.
On a Thursday night in front of all of America, dude. Yep. That man is having a great rookie season. Probably one of the best that has been played for a while.
Yeah, I think Joe Burrow. He's definitely gonna be a pretty good quarterback. He's just with a crappy team right now. Yeah,
well, they have good skill position players. There's no offensive line.
Yeah,
if they can build the lines around him for him, I think they can be pretty good. But half the game, Joe Burrow's on his back, dude, because they just can't. I mean, it sucks for a rookie to get smashed like that all the time. But
you gotta take those.
You know
hits.
What it does? It gets him ready for next year. He knows that they're coming.
It does one of two things: it builds his confidence, or it. You know, destroys his confidence.
I mean, how much easier is it as a first-year quarterback play a few games and get destroyed, right? Well, right. That's fine. But you come in your second year, ain't even thrown a football, and you got an O-line like they have. It comes and destroys you. Your confidence is just gone.
Well, the unwritten rule of drafting a number one quarterback like that is that the following year, if we have a draft, you know, in a normal month of April, is getting offensive linemen to protect him.
Mm-hmm.
They get the quarterback first, and then get the lineman second.
Yeah, you get your quarterback, you get someone to protect your quarterback, and then you get someone to get their quarterback. Yeah.
Well, he's already, like, improving, so, you know, he didn't lose last week. He didn't lose last week.
No, I'm impressed with
that. Didn't win, but he didn't lose.
Show the highlights for that game at the end of red zone or anything. It's a tie.
It's a tie.
Honestly, Joe Burrow should have had his first week.
He should have had this
win. You got the rest of the football team that's got to play too. And when you do everything you can to win a football game and then your kicker just blows them up like that, it's not a good feeling in your stomach at all.
I mean, realistically, if the Bengals kicker made that kick at the end of regulation, the Bengals could technically be 2-1 if they also won that other game. They could be 2-1 right now if they beat the Eagles too.
Yeah,
so I mean, it's
the game of inches.
I can't believe they blew that lead with, 4 minutes left?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a great throw.
I can believe that one didn't more than the Atlanta Falcons' last two games.
I think I'm just starting to, accept it that the Falcons, when they get up by a big margin, that they're probably going to choke it in the fourth quarter.
They're
definitely going to give it away because that's just what they do. Man, you're not allowed to have a lead in Atlanta.
No.
I mean, no, you're allowed to have a lead that, you know, you just got to give it up in the fourth quarter.
No, it's going to be a lot of weird fantasy
upsets. Wish we had a Falcons fan here.
They're at home soaking that day.
He wouldn't be one for long.
I was about to say, he's probably on suicide watch if he had one.
So who get – all right, real quick, because there was one game we didn't talk about. It was Kansas City and Patriots in the last segment. Who gets more fantasy points, Cam Newton or Mahomes?
I want to take the limb, and I want to go Cam Newton. I just think they use him in so many different assets that they, you know, he's going to get the rushing touchdowns, he's going to get the running yards, and as well as he's going to throw for at least one or two touchdowns. I mean, what if he throws for two touchdowns and
Who's
going to
win the game?
Well, I feel like the Chiefs are still going to win the game, but
the score going to be?
It's going to be closer than people think. Just like that Seattle game, people thought Seattle was going to blow them out the water, and look how close that game was. It was down to the wire.
It's like a 31-34 thing.
I just think, with this offense, the way it's built, they have a great defense and a great run game, and you can go anywhere with that. You can beat any team with a great run game and a great defense.
I'm sticking with my homie.
All right, you ready?
My homie.
Cam Newton's got 35. Patty puts up 31.
Because and fantasy points?
Because yeah. of his mobility.
I was about to say, the mobility is so
Patty
much.
Mahomes doesn't run for 80 yards a game. Cam Newton wants to.
I'm not saying he can.
He doesn't.
Yeah, he chooses not to. That's
he's
the
got 1,000 weapons.
Cam Newton is forced to.
Listen, Andy Reid is telling Patty Mahomes, you stay in that pocket as much as you can. You do not get out there and get whacked
I give
around.
Him.
Have billion-dollar legs.
They kept Lamar Jackson
my homie.
In check.
Huh?
The Chiefs kept Lamar Jackson in check.
The Chefs?
Yeah, but that's Lamar. Like, I don't know. I just feel like that the
you know how they kept him in check? They kept rushing from the outside, both sides. Right. It's the only way to keep someone like that in check. But do you know what happened every time they rushed on the outsides? There was two or three wide receivers wide open,
right.
And he kept slashing them and slashing them and slashing them. And what did Andy Reid have to do? Tell that defensive coordinator, look, you can't do that. There's no way you can rush a quarterback like that all the time because Lamar Jackson is going to beat you.
Also,
maybe not every play, but he's going to hit that one for 50 or 60, and you're going to be like, crap, that, we can't keep doing this.
That Ravens offensive coordinator also just started running the ball a lot with Lamar, and he just kind of went away from running the ball with Mark Ingram and as well as Gus Edwards. Because especially if they're going to spread out that far and blitz the edge that much, you have the middle wide open to run the ball, and they went one-dimensional on that game. That's why that lost that game. But that'll do it for here on Inside the Huddle. Catch us tomorrow where we talk about your hometown Broncos and some more matchups.
See ya.
And we got the press box next.
Taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama.
Uh-huh.
His laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
This is Ducello at Sturts. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Lock. And if you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturts.
Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever.